Job, the 13th chapter, if you have your Bibles, turn there with me. Lunch for the call starts at 12, if I'm through. Listen to the words of Job in the 15th verse, 13th chapter. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power and the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to your people and make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right in the eye and say, hey, it is just good to see you this morning. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning for a few moments on a simple question. Can God be trusted in our troubles? You know, I think that's a good question for today. We're living in perilous times. And the Bible said that was going to happen. In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self. What does that mean? Everybody worried about their own self. Can I tell you that's where we're at? Everybody thinks they got the worst day. And you talk to people, oh, I'm having a bad day. Well, next time you have a bad day, read the book of Job. Hello? I mean, I don't care what kind of day you're going to have. You probably never going to match this one. But now, church, the truth of the matter is everybody's concerned about themselves. Nobody seems to be concerned about anybody else. And our prayers have become selfish. People get in prayer. And don't look at me like some of y'all looking at me. It's about time some of you grew up. The Lord said, make your requests known unto God. After you do that, you quit worrying about your problems and start praying about everybody else. That's what the Word of God says do. Come on, church. Now, I know your TV preacher said, just keep praying, keep asking. That is not biblical. When Solomon prayed, what did he pray for? Solomon said, God, would you give me wisdom to make these people? Would you give me a heart to rule these people? And you know what God said? Because you didn't ask me anything for yourself, I'm going to bless you. Now, church, that ought to tell you something. God doesn't change, so he's not going to bless you if your grocery list is all you come to him with. But if you start praying about other people's problems and other people's troubles and other people's trials, and you put on part of the armor of God, which is you pray with all prayer and supplication for one another, I got a God that's going to bless you while he's blessing them because you're praying for them. Could you say amen? Come on, church, that's good preaching. Amen. Listen, Job was considered a great man who went through a lot, not because of what he did wrong, but because of what he did right. Listen to Job chapter 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was a perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 700,000 or 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household, so that the man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Now, church, when you're considered the greatest of all the men by God, and it's written in his word, you're something. It's one thing to be great in your eyes. It's one thing to get voted into a hall of fame. But when God says this man's the greatest, I mean, he was the greatest dad. He was the greatest husband. He was the greatest entrepreneur. He was the greatest man as far as relationships was concerned. He was a spiritual leader in his area. This man was considered great. But now notice this. In about the sixth verse. And now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came along and among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, which comest thou? And Satan answered, the Lord said, from going to and fro on the earth, from walking up and down on it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Now, church, listen, God's even bragging about Job. You doing something when God's bragging on you. The devil said, I've been down on the earth trying to check out the folks. And he said, hey, have you checked out Job? He's my prize person. And now notice what happened. Then Satan answered the Lord and says, doth Job fear God for naught? See, the devil believes none of us can serve God because we love him. We all got to have an ulterior motive. That's what the devil believes. He absolutely believes it. Can I tell you, that's the problem with some people in the church? You do have an ulterior motive. Well, if God don't bless me, I ain't coming back to church. Well, then God probably ain't going to bless you because of the attitude you got. Come on, church. Amen. And we got folks, well, I ain't paying my tithes unless God gives me $1 million. Well, you probably ain't never going to pay your tithes because he can't trust you to do that. Because if he gave you $1 million, it'd be too much. If you can't pay tithes on $10, don't expect him to bless you with $1 million. He can't trust you with it. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. I know y'all getting quiet. I'm finna run an amen myself. Glory. But now, church, the reality is that's the way God functions. And all of a sudden, the devil's sitting there going, yes, that you know, Job just fears you because you bless him, because you good to him, because you love him. That's why he respects you and worships you and work for you. And all of a sudden, listen to what he does. He said, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side, that thou hast blessed the work of his hand, his substance is increased in the land. Now, all of a sudden, he said, now, look, the only reason Job loves you is because you won't let me get to him. Now, church, notice something. God's no respecter person. So that tells me I got a hedge around me and Satan can't get to me unless God allows it. Come on, church. Some of y'all ought to get happy about that. Some of y'all ought to think about some of your conversation. Because some of you, every time you talk, well, the devil's been all over me. Well, maybe you need to get in your hedge and pray up. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. You want the devil quit riding, you take the saddle off. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. Resist the devil, he'll do what? He'll flee from you. It's time some of you got a little backbone, stood up in the name of Jesus and said, hey, I ain't taking this anymore. Enough is enough. I've got a God who's going to take care of me, and I love him, and we're going to make it because he's going to take care of me. Oh. But notice the offer the devil made. He said, now put forth thine hand now and touch all he hath, and he will curse thee. All of a sudden the devil turns around and says, hey, tell you what, dude. Let me at him. Let me take my chance to tear him up. And let's see what happens. And all of a sudden, Job's got a problem. Here these people are coming along. Job trying to figure out what's going on. The devil's trying to tear him up. And all of a sudden, God turns around and says, okay, try my servant Job. And God turns around and the last thing he says is, okay, Satan, take all he hath in thy power, and upon him only put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth the presence of the Lord. He said, go take everything he's got. Take your best shot. I'm going to trust Job ain't going to mess up. See, sometimes, church, you get in trouble not because of what you've been doing wrong, but what you've been doing right. Because you get so good, God says, that's my prized possession. I can trust him. He's going to make it. I can trust her. She's going to stand up. They're not going to give up because the devil comes after them. You know the story. My Lord, all of a sudden, problems start arising. Now, we come to the first question. Can God be trusted when we are submerged in suffering? All of a sudden, Job's got a problem. Now notice in the 13th verse, second chapter, I believe it is, or maybe the 13th verse, the first chapter. And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing, and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, and they slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burnt up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped to alone to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, the Chaldeans have made out thy three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am only the one is escaped to tell thee. And while he was yet speaking, there came another and said, thy sons and their daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they were dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Church, can you imagine? This ain't no 4 or 5 week period. This is in one day. One man gets through talking, and all of a sudden he's got a problem. Another man steps in, tells him about something else just went wrong, and another thing, and another thing. And finally, Job comes to realize, I'm having a bad day. And notice what he did in the 21st. The Bible said, Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell upon the ground, and worshiped God. I want to tell you, when everything goes wrong, it's not time to give up. It's not time to turn aside. But when everything goes wrong, it's time to get on our knees, raise our arms toward God, and worship him, because we realize he is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. And in him, I'm going to be lifted up. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. All in one day, everything's gone. Job loses his finances. He loses his family. He loses his health. I mean, the devil even gets him down and just tears the man up. His boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. I don't know if y'all have ever had one of them. Them things hurt by themselves, not a whole bunch of them. And he's actually taking a piece of old pottery, not a knife or something, and lancing those things so they'll open up and let the pressure off. Those are what a boil is. It's an upside down rising. You go to the doctor and they cut it open with a little razor thing. They deaden it. You know, it's real nice. You don't have to feel a whole lot. He's got a piece of old broken pottery out there going, and he's doing it to himself because he's hurting so bad. And he's wanting help, and he's sitting in an ash pile, scraping his body, trying to get that thing to heal up. All in one day, and now he's lost face because everybody in the community starts figuring out there's something wrong with Job. Come on, church. You ever notice that? Everybody starts having problems. Everybody in the church goes, what have they done? Listen, Job chapter 4, verse 7. One of his friends said, remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or whenever was the righteous cut off. In other words, Job, what you got going on, dude, we don't know about. You've been looking at stuff on the internet we don't know nothing about. You've been watching something we ain't seen. Somewhere down the line, you know you're messing up. You say, preacher, ain't that the way it is? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Those of you got your Bible, if you don't, they should shoot it up behind me. Beginning with verse 32. And it shall be, and what shall I say, or what more shall I say? Isn't it great to know preachers, even in the day of the writer of Hebrews, was like preachers today? They got a lunch coming up, not enough time to finish your sermon. Glory. The writer of Hebrews said, what else can I say, lest I run out of time? That's what he said. What more can I say, lest time should fail me? He said, I'm running out of time. Let me speed this up. Of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Japheth, of David also and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain of the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in the mountains and the dens and the caves of the earth. But all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Did you hear what he said? Even those that were going through all kind of stuff still got a good report of faith, because even when they went through the stuff, they were doing it because they believed God, not because they'd done something wrong. Could you say amen, church? Some of us need to realize bad things happen to good people, and no matter how good you are, trouble's still going to come. But when trouble comes, my God can be trusted when you're submerged in suffering. Could you say amen? Question number two, can God be trusted when your friends forsake you? Job chapter 19, verse 14. My kinfolks have failed and my familiar friends have forgotten me. They that dwell in mine own house and my maids count me a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. I called my servant and he gave me no answer. I entreated him with my mouth. My breath is strange to my wife. Though I entreated for the children's sake mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. And all my inward friends abhor me. And they whom I love are turned against me. Man, in the darkest hour, Job's sitting there going, man, ain't nobody wants to have nothing to do with me. Have you ever noticed that's what happens when people have trouble? They get in trouble, things not going good in their life, and folks just kind of give them the cold shoulder. Sometimes it's because folks just don't know what to say, so they don't say nothing. But do you ever realize what it's like to be on the other end of that shoe and your life falling apart and folks walking by you like, it ain't no big deal, it ain't me? And Job sitting there going, man, I've lost it all and nobody cares. I had a guy ask me one day, he said, preacher, why is it always those closest to you hurt you the most when they do you in? Because you see, Satan understands somebody you ain't close to ain't going to bother you if they try to do you in. Hello? Come on, church. Y'all may never been there, but I've been there with somebody I thought I could trust what my life tried to destroy me. And it blew my mind when I found out what was going on, because I treated that person like my father. And next thing I know, he's the one trying to take me down and doing everything he can to destroy me with all kind of lies. And yet at the same time sends me a message, tell Kenny I love him. Listen to what Psalmist David writes in Psalms 41. This is a description of how Christ felt in the ninth verse. Yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. He's referring to Judas. You say, preacher, you sure Psalms 55:13. But it was thou, a man of my equal, my guide, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked in the house of God in company. But it's those that's closest to you that's going to take you out. And listen to Job's own wife in Job chapter 2, verse 10. And then said his wife unto him, dost thou still remain or retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But listen to how Job answered her. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. Did you hear what he said? He said, lady, don't you understand? And look, church, don't take it out on Job's wife. I've heard preachers preach sermons on that woman talking about, well, bless God, she ought not been that hard on her husband. But that was her boys and daughters got killed. And that was all her money went out the window. Her life just went up too. She just made the mistake of being married to the wrong man at the right time. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. But it doesn't matter how you got where you are. What matters is who you depend on when you get there. And all of a sudden Job said, woman, you speak like a foolish woman. I receive the good at the hand of God, I'll take the evil also. But I can tell you this, I'm not giving up on my God. Though when the skin worms have destroyed this body, I know I'm going to see my Redeemer. And in the flesh I'm going to stand before God. And for that reason, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and I will believe in him. Could you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Question number three, can God be trusted when you're dismayed in darkness? You know, church, the one thing we forget when we read about Job is he didn't get to read the book. It'd been easier to deal with all this if he knew how it's going to turn out. We keep talking about, boy, I wish I knew why I was here. Sometimes you don't want to know why you're where you are. But let's face it, Job hadn't read the book. So Job didn't understand why he was where he at. He didn't understand why his troubles were coming. Now he dismayed at the darkness of the world. You say, preacher, what's darkness? Well, my God is light. And when God backs away, darkness begins to fill the voids of my life. And when darkness really rams around me, it's when God's backed away for whatever reason. And I'm in that darkness because of that. Listen to Job in the 23rd chapter. Job answered and said, even today my complaint is bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer and understand what he would say unto me. Job said, if I could just talk to you, Lord, if I could just hear your voice. Have you ever been there? Well, you pray and you feel like the heavens are brass and you're not getting through and you just want to give up and quit. You're thinking, my God, I'm wasting my time. Listen to Job again in that same 23rd chapter in the 8th verse. Behold, I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him, and he hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. Job came to that point in his misery, in the darkness of his life, when he's sitting there going, God, where are you? Have you ever been to that place where you said, God, what's going on? Why am I here? What's going on, God? I don't know where you are. You say, preacher, is it that easy? Sometimes it gets so dark you don't know which way to go. You may have never been there, but I've been to that place where you don't know which way to turn. You don't know which way's up. You don't know what to do. But my Bible said when you've done all you know how to do, stand still. Notice Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. Who is among you that fears the Lord? Who obeyeth the voice of his servants, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and say, stay upon his God. For behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourself about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have, mine hand, and you shall lay down in sorrow. Church, we've got to learn that even when we can't see, we can't make our own light. We can't try to fix it ourselves. There are some things you ain't going to fix no matter how hard you try. And what Isaiah is saying, those that try to build their own fire and try to fix their own problem have nothing but their own light. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Could you say amen? We've got to learn how to trust in God and not in our own light. Amen. But after the questions, Job begins to get some answers. How many of you understand if you ask God a question, if you'll wait around long enough, he'll answer you? And all of a sudden, we hear in Job chapter 38, God begins to answer Job. All this time, Job's been going through stuff. He's been questioning God. And listen to what he tells him in the 38th verse. And then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? In other words, who's asking questions and ain't got a clue what he's talking about? Hello? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will determine of thee, or demand of thee, and answer thou me. In other words, he turned around and he said, okay, Job, you've been asking questions. Now I've been talking to ask you some questions. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof? And if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon the foundations thereof are fastened? And who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted with joy. He said, Job, when you can tell me how I made everything, then you're going to understand me. And until you understand me, don't be questioning what I'm doing. Church, listen, sometimes we got to come to the point where we realize I'm never going to understand God. Come on, church, nod your head. Mr. Spock would have never made it in the Christian world. Because it had to be logical, and there's nothing logical about the Word of God. I can't find logic anywhere. I just got to believe in the beginning there was God, and out of nothing, he made everything. He then hung everything on nothing, told it to stay there. Ain't nothing logical about that, but he never told me to understand it logically. He just said, if thou canst but believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, that's the important thing. And what God's trying to make Job understand is, first of all, you got to understand, Job, I'm the sovereign God. I'm in charge of it all. I got it all under control. I'm the one that laid down the measure and set out the lines. I'm the one that has the sea washing in the hollow of my hand. I am the one that spoke the worlds into existence and maybe just reached over the anvil of my omnipotence and popped and made the sparks and threw them across the sky and made stars. I'm the one that put it all there, Joe, and because of that, understand I'm in charge of it all. And if I am, I'm taking care of what's going on in your life. Then all of a sudden he turns around in Job chapter 42. Verse 5, Job hears from God again. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. All of a sudden, Job begins to understand the sufficiency of God. Hello? All of a sudden, said, God, I read about you all these years, but suddenly I realize you're everything it said it was and more. Hello? Suddenly Job done something some of us need to do. He moved from theology to a relationship. Just to know God's not good enough to experience God and begin to dwell in him is where it's all about. And then listen to the last thing. Job finds the sympathy of God. And if you got your Bibles, I want you to mark that 10th verse, something very important. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Job quit praying for Job and started praying for other people. God started turning around Job's situation. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all of his brothers and his sisters, and they that had been in his acquaintance before, did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. And every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. And so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job in the beginning, that he had 14,000 sheep, that's twice as many, 6,000 camels, twice as many, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses, twice as many. But he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Somebody said, well, why didn't he get more sons and daughters? Because he hadn't lost the others. He knew where they were at. Hello? Somebody came up to me one day and said, "Man, I hate you lost your mama." I said, "I didn't lose my mama. I know right where she is. She's in glory, waiting on me with my dad, with my grandparents. There's coming a day when I'm going to step on a cloud over somewhere and I'm going to hear my grandmama holler at me and I'm going to know that I made it." Come on, church. Amen. One of them's going to bless me and the other's going to whip the tar out of me because that's what they always did. It's not going to change when I get there. If it did, I wouldn't think it was heaven. Glory. But you know, church, we need to understand that when people pass away, they're gone and it's hard to let go. But at the same time, listen to this. Death can only hide, but it cannot divide. They are but on Christ's other side. They with him and he with us. This is how we abide. Job understood that no matter what I lost, God's able to restore. Let me tell you something, church. Trouble's coming. If it hadn't already hit, it's on its way. But trusting in God is the only thing we can do. You say, "Preacher, you act like it's this." Listen, I've been at this 35 years. It ain't all been mountaintops. It ain't all been wonderful. But it's all been joyous because I've had God with me even when everything was going wrong. And I believe God gave me a message for somebody in this building this morning that you're going through some stuff. Trouble's going on in your life. And I want to tell you, if you hadn't heard anything else I said, God can be trusted with anything going on in your life. If you just understand, he is a sovereign God. He is a sufficient God. He's a sympathetic God. And God knows where you are and has the power to bring you out. Would you stand with me all over the house? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, God, for your word. Master, you said it is not by might, nor by power, but by thy Spirit, saith God. Father, I commend this congregation into your hand. Every heart, every life, every soul. Holy Spirit of God, have your way in Jesus' name. Move on us with your glory. Touch us with your power. In Jesus' name.